Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I've got Greer here with me, and we've got our special guest, Mr. Ben Werman. Gents, thanks for taking time. Alrighty, up first, we've got Melania Trump's tweet about preemptive intervention of crimes because of the school shooting this week. And if you look at the post Whitney Webb shared, she said she's been warning people about this for a long time, but basically they're looking to stop crime before it happens, which looks very, very concerning. Ben, this feels like a topic you will crush. Why don't you take this one first and give your thoughts?
We just see so many examples of this where the problem, reaction, solution, it should always be the framework you're looking at. And who's benefiting from having a solution to provide? And it's usually some way to take away your freedom. And I haven't dug super deep into the details of exactly what the proposal was, but it's not going to be good for us. It's going to be good for a few people that have a lot of power, that's for sure.
Yeah, she said beginning in our homes, extending through school districts, and of course, social media platforms. So I can only imagine all the ideas they're concocting for how they can prevent crime before it happens. And I can imagine we as Bitcoin Banter participants are going to be par for the course in terms of enforcement. Greer, what do you think?
Yeah, I think if you live in a free society, you have to be able to accept some risk. You know, bad things happen. And unfortunately, that's just the nature of being alive. I don't think we'll ever be able to prevent crime. And I think Ben's right. You know, what they want to do is make sure that they catch you early before you do it. And, you know, if you saw the movie Minority Report, this is not a great way to live. We don't want to live in a society like this. What we want is to have security, but with the freedom to move, to think, to speak. And I think that, you know, this push where bad things happen, let's do something about it, is a slippery slope. You know, they want to start at the home level. And if you're paranoid, you know, where does that leave you? Are they listening to your conversations, et cetera? So I think this is just a great opportunity for us to push back and say, you know, freedom includes bad things happening. And when you hear sayings like freedom isn't free, this is exactly what we're talking about. You know, tragic events are awful and regrettable, and we wish they didn't happen. But if you think you can prevent bad things from happening, you're delusional.
Absolutely.
And it's all about creating a context for more surveillance and more ways to just track people, control.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's why we do the work we do at the Bitcoin Way, because people are like, we see this at, like, so many Australians right now are looking to get out. And so they're finding our plan B very appealing. They're looking at a place like Panama, and they don't have all of these nonsensical restrictions and interventions and taxing extra bedrooms and things we've talked about on the show before. But I would say it also is very important that you know, take the time to protect yourself financially with Bitcoin and self-custody, and to protect your digital privacy. But anyway, protect yourself. Bitcoin and self-custody, protect your computer, your phone, you know, have a plan B option, all of those good things. Up next, guys, we've got Tether launching a USDT stablecoin on Bitcoin via RGB and Taproot assets. So the lifeline of the dollar is likely extended to some degree. At least they're using better technology to make it happen, but not something I think I'm excited about. Greer, what's your thought on this?
Yeah, we hear Bitcoin is for enemies, and I think it's time for us to start living that out. What does that mean? You know, Bitcoin is eating the world. That's another one that we say, and this is evidence of those. Both of those things are coming to life. The part that is really surprising is how quickly it's happening. You know, Tether is very popular in countries where the fiat currency doesn't hold value. So the people there look to Tether as it's a way to get out of a deflating or an inflating currency. It's for them, it's a good thing. For us in the West, you know, we are looking at Tether as the CBDC, the surveillance coin. And coming to Bitcoin means that it's going to be faster, easier, cheaper, and we'll likely, in a future world that's probably coming very quickly, we're going to have Tether sitting right next to Bitcoin in your digital wallet. Perhaps your employer will start paying you in Tether in the not too distant future. And the piece that I think they're trying to figure out now is the marketing. How do we get people to see that this is the digital dollar. It's a one-to-one backed stable coin to the U.S. Treasury. So like you said, Michael, I think this extends the life of the dollar. And I think if you are a Bitcoiner, you know, the lines between owning Bitcoin and everything else have not been more stark. You know, Bitcoin is the only cryptocurrency that is permissionless, unconfiscatable. And right now, I think we're going to get a very clear picture of these two things living right next to each other.
Completely agree with that. Ben, USDT on Bitcoin, what's your thought?
Yeah, I don't have a whole ton to add to that other than it's just, it'll be interesting to see how, because like you said, certain countries really use Tether. I was in Argentina recently and it's super popular over there. And for a lot of countries all over the place, it is a valuable service. And who am I to say, oh, like you should just be a Bitcoin maximalist immediately. But at the same time, I think that we need to look at the big picture and understand that Bitcoin is the direction we're going, to make sure that folks understand that that is the end game here. Don't get too clung on to this idea of just like a digital form of the least bad of the fiats. And just use it, look at it as, frame it as a transitory period. That's sort of the stance I take. And yeah, I hold zero Tether right now. And hopefully people who go in that boat use that as a way to get closer to understanding why Bitcoin is the future, why they should really focus on that.
Yeah, just all blockchains are not created equal. Keep that in mind when you're picking your form of money, everyone. Alrighty, up next, we've got Coinbase deplatformed this guy, likely because of his work on Bitcoin privacy, is his thought. He said, last time I used Coinbase was perhaps in 2014, well over a decade, so they can't really claim I misused their service. So Coinbase, once again, drops the ball. Anyone listening, if you are using Coinbase, please, dear God, get your coins off of Coinbase. Take self-custody, first of all, but pick a different exchange. If you're in the U.S., use River. If you're in Canada, use Bitcoin Well. If you're in Europe, try RelayOut. There are plenty of great options. Don't use Coinbase. Ben, I'll let you add anything you want to.
I honestly have a slightly different view on this, I guess. I just view every single exchange as a centralized institution that can do whatever they want. And I don't even waste my time and energy getting mad at specific ones for doing different things because they're all against centralized entities. And we just need to make sure to get the education in that these are just places to buy your coins and move them off right away, no matter which one it is. I don't even go into like this one's more trustworthy than this one for that reason. Just find one that works, pay your coins off there, and then forget about it. Because eventually, and even more than forget about it, I would say just learn more about doing the peer-to-peer ways to earn Bitcoin. Because that's better. The non-KYC is a good thing to get the hands on as well. And yeah, so I don't even hate Coinbase. They're just one of all these. They all take their turns doing something stupid every once in a while. And we just shouldn't put too much energy on them other than just letting people know to not keep your coins on there.
Yeah, well, Ben, maybe you're too new to the show. We just like railing on them because everything they do is so stupid. But I do agree with you in principle. Get your keys off the exchange or your coins off the exchange. Greer.
Yeah, they don't need a reason to deplatform you. They can do it for whatever purpose they want. So if you have coins on Coinbase, even if you try to get them off, you might run into some resistance. I've seen where they've required you to upload not just your driver's license, but also where the funds originated from that you used to purchase your Bitcoin, which is a total invasion of privacy. I think we should treat these exchanges like telephone booths. You know, you make the call, you get out. And keeping your coins there is just asking for too much permission. One of the things that when I was new, I didn't understand the word counterparty risk. If they hold the keys, you have all the risk. So you need to just create a wallet, get a hardware device, send your Bitcoin somewhere where only you control it. You know, that's the message. We all think that it won't happen to me until it does. And denial is a huge hurdle that everybody has to get over. I mean, you have to stop denying that it won't happen to you. There's a much better chance that it will at some point than it won't.
Well said. Self-custody is the revolution. Alrighty, guys, up next, Simon Dixon says October is the launch of the Euro CBDC. He's been preparing everybody for, in his opinion, this is the beta to see what they can get away with before they bring it to U.S. stablecoins controlled by tech giants with way more data than central banks. Bitcoin in self-custody is the resistance. I think that is aptly put. So if you are in Europe, this is a real concern. And Ben, I don't know if you're still there. You've kind of been gallivanting around all over the place. What are you seeing? Is anyone talking about this? Do they have like marketing campaigns up or anything?
I haven't seen anything about it anywhere or heard anything about it, honestly. Yeah, I haven't been looking specifically for that, but I would have seen it. I would have taken a picture and posted it if I did. So I haven't seen anything about it. I haven't heard anyone talking about it. So you could take that in a good or a bad way. Like, people aren't really thinking about money in general, like the majority of fiat NPCs. So it's just all about education right now. Trying to get Mayhem on board as we can. It's great to see more and more European podcasters really getting out there, spreading the message, more and more conferences. I went to a bunch of conferences this summer, and they're everywhere. They're growing. More and more people are figuring this out and getting prepared and understanding what's the real end game is for that, which is a good thing. It'll be very interesting to see how that unfolds.
Greer, how would you frame, like, for people who don't understand what a big deal this is or what a concern this is, how would you sort of explain that?
Don't be the last one to buy Bitcoin. You know, if you're in Europe, like, money is digital, you know, cash is harder to get these days. Coins, I mean, they're all going away. And with a stroke of a pen from any politician or any leader of a country, you wouldn't have a way to transact. So I would frame it as, you know, the exit is closing. We're 4 weeks away from this thing potentially going live. I wonder, is it mandatory to use it? What does it look like when you open up your bank account in Europe? Does your currency get denominated in this new digital euro? And you basically wake up and now you're using something that operates differently, but looks exactly the same as it did before. So, you know, there's really not much time left. And I think you don't want to be the last person out the escape hatch.
Yeah, keep in mind, if you think that this is not like a means of competing with Bitcoin and invading your privacy, I don't know what you're smoking. I want some of it. The important thing is that you're not going to have the on-ramps accessible if they have the ability to turn your money on and off so easily. They can do that already in the banking system, but it becomes a little bit more problematic. They don't know where you're sending a wire transfer with perfect precision. It's a lot to track. The CBDC rails makes it much simpler for them to just say, nope, these are qualified vendors. These aren't. We don't know what this is, so we're just going to block it until we can investigate. So you've got to opt out now. Take self-custody. Don't take any chances on this, folks.
One quick question. Do you think that, let's say this digital euro goes live, right? It goes live on a Monday. Do you think that they will permit you to purchase Bitcoin on Relay or one of the other Bitcoin exchanges? I don't know the answer, but if I was in Europe, that would be one of the first things I'd want to know. Are they going to be able to restrict what I purchase?
I think they will definitely be able to. I don't know that they'll start there because I think to Simon's point, I think they want to test the waters a little bit. What can we get away with? Like, I don't know if this was true. My brother told me, I remember talking to him after COVID, that Fauci had maybe come out and said something about getting people to wear goggles or something because COVID could be contracted through the eyes or something like that. And then they like shut it down as soon as everyone was like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, we're not doing that. And so it's like they get like push the limit to see what, and then they just retract it. So I think they'll start off slower and then they'll, you know, turn Bitcoin into some sort of a national emergency. And now you shut it down because it's the reason, you know, we're hyperinflating or something like that. I don't think they'll start there, but I wouldn't gamble though. I would figure it out quickly, get your Bitcoin, take self-custody and get as far away from the CBDC as you can. Ben, anything to add to that?
No, I agree with everything. It's just going to be, it'll be interesting to see if we're able to turn this into a positive, just getting people more comfortable with the idea of digital money. And this is going to be a huge opportunity for the educators out there and the orange pilling masses to just utilize that and just find those people that are starting to use a digital wallet and say, okay, now you just need to see how easy this is to pay whatever. You're already doing this anyway. Your fiat account is using digital, but now it's very digital, more digital. Now here's a form of money that's actually better too to use in a digital wallet. It's Bitcoin. It's way better. So that's going to be the goal from here on out.
Amen. Well said. All righty, guys. Simply Bitcoin says, just in, global Bitcoin mining hash rate hits a new record high. So we've talked about this several times the last few months. This, I think, Greer, is the signal that we have. The price action has disappointed many, which I think people need to be patient and take a chill pill. But hash rate's coming online, I mean, at an incredible clip. So what signals does this send, in your view, to us as Bitcoiners and to anyone watching in the world?
Yeah, with a hash rate moving parabolic like this, it is, you know, just ever increasing. This to me says everyone wants Bitcoin. Everyone wants to mine Bitcoin, and we're going to need more electricity to be competitive. I think if you're a Bitcoiner, you love to see this. You know, we want a strong network. There are more computers mining Bitcoin than probably any other activity in the world. So this to me is good news. I think being a Bitcoiner and then getting into mining at home has been an incredibly rewarding experience. Don't let the hash rate keep you from buying a solo miner, from joining a pool, from running Knots and Ocean. You should be part of this. This is the most exciting thing. And I think, you know, with the odds of being able to win a block, you know, maybe they're low, but join the party. You know, this is where all the energy is, and it's totally decentralized. Anyone can plug in at any time. And, you know, if you are confused, look at the hash rate. This tells more of the Bitcoin story than anything else.
And something I'll add too, is you mentioned, Michael, how a lot of people are being lulled to sleep and bored and unhappy with the price action. There are so many different charts to look at and just technical things around Bitcoin to look at. I definitely agree with you that this is a much better one to look at in terms of the strength of the network. And the one that I like the most is just the global adoption. How many people have heard of Bitcoin? How many people are holding Bitcoin? How many people are using, spending Bitcoin? How many circular economies are popping up? How many Nostra accounts are being created? Just like the growth of people finding it and understanding it. But basically everything to me at this point is more interesting than the price, which I think is a good place to be. And I encourage more people to just detach from the price and look at these things that actually are showing this thing is growing, getting stronger, getting more unbeatable, and just becoming more of a powerhouse in the world.
All righty, guys. Yeah. So again, follow the signal. Hash rate is way more interesting than price. If you know, you know. And up last, we've got the U.S. Department of Commerce will begin posting real GDP data on Polygon, turning economic data into an immutable global public good. Unfortunately, as I mentioned offline, the economic data that they report is itself is not immutable because they revise all of the good news toward bad news, you know, a couple months later. But like, could one of you explain to me what value they think is being added by posting this on a quote unquote immutable ledger, which we all know is probably, you know, highly centralized?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, they're getting comfortable with cryptocurrency, with crypto, you know, and I think, unfortunately, we're going to live in this world probably for some time where you have Bitcoin and everything else, and the government, you know, being very comfortable with these shitcoin networks. For me as a Bitcoiner, I mean, there's nothing I can do other than just observe. But, you know, if I was a token holder, would I really want to own a token of the DMV or of the USDA? Like, you know, these guys that are buying crypto look at Bitcoin and say, that's too expensive, I'll buy something else. Okay, well, now you just bought some government coin or a coin that the government likes to use. Is that really what the goal is? You know, if you go back to what Satoshi created, he gave us people a way to exchange value peer-to-peer with no third party, no intermediary. That's what I think that we should all be focused on. You know, this, them using the blockchain, I think is cute, but at the end of the day, it is not helping the regular person separate money from the state. And you can see what the state does when they get money in their hands. Everything gets more expensive because they print it out of thin air. So I, you know, other than that, you know, have fun staying poor.
Ben?
Yeah, it's, I mean, we've seen just from all these politicians finding their way into the Bitcoin conferences, and there's a certain group of people that are like, oh, this is so amazing. They're totally going to be super based Bitcoiners. And they're just talking about shitcoins the whole time. And then they do World Pi Coin and We've got, there's all over the place doing, and all the Trump family are a perfect example of this. They are clearly in it for themselves. And so they're making all these crypto projects to make themselves rich. And this is just another example of all of them going. And the interesting question is, how much do they actually think this is useful, and how much are they just being paid off behind the scenes? And who knows? I mean, there's so much money sloshing around in the crypto market that they're just, it's just all nonsense. And it's ridiculous how long all the blockchain crypto stuff is just going to continue dragging on, but it seems like it's just not going away anytime soon. Hopefully this just brings more people through that process faster of vicariously, I don't know if that's the right word, but indirectly following these political administrations going through the crypto phase so they don't have to themselves on an individual level just learning it's stupid. It doesn't work. It doesn't help.
Yeah, just listen to Bitcoin banter. Don't pay attention to what politicians are doing. That'll help you in life a lot, I think. All righty, guys. In the interest of me getting disconnected here again, let's wrap this up. Ben, why don't you give a handoff, and then Greer, you can tell everyone where to find your awesome hat.
Yeah, go find my podcast, Ben Wormy Podcast. I'm on YouTube, all the audio platforms, wherever you're watching this, go check it out. And Twitter, Noster, all the good places, follow me there.
Awesome, yeah, thanks, man. For having me. Shopbirdflip.com. You can pay in Bitcoin or dollars.
Awesome. And you can go to thebitcoinway.com. Everyone stick around, learn a little bit about what we do, how we help you take self-custody, all the fun self-sovereign things you ought to be considering. So thanks, guys. Good chatting. Sorry about all the disconnection issues, but we'll make it happen. So take care, guys. Hey there, thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth, and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want to back up in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.